Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a good thing producer Dave has a dump button, because we got some fired up Browns fans who forgot the kind of language they are not allowed to use on a national radio show. Here's the crazy, crazy, crazy thing. This weekend saw three teams get their first playoff victories in either nearly a decade or nearly two decades or longer, going back to the 90s. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hadn't seen a playoff win since their Super Bowl after the 02 season. So we're talking nearly 20 years. The Browns and Bills, it's been even longer. Not many people in Cleveland want to hear the name Bill Belichick. I get it. But that was the last time Cleveland had a playoff win. In fact, it wasn't even this franchise. It was the franchise now known as the Baltimore Ravens, though they technically get to carry over their records. 1994, and for the Bills, 95. The days of Jim Kelly and four consecutive Super Bowls. Man, this was a throwback weekend, and it was awesome. I'm so happy for those of you who are fans of the Browns, the Bills, the Bucks. And yeah, we've still got some big dogs. We've got a fantastic divisional weekend on tap. So we're back down to just four games coming up next Saturday and Sunday. Whew, it was a lot of football this weekend, let's be honest. And we still have Monday's national championship. So if you were like me, you got a whole lot of nothing done outside of watching football. And, well, maybe you didn't take notes. Maybe that was just me because I'm special. But here's your matchups for next Saturday and Sunday. We've got the Rams at the Packers to start things off Saturday afternoon, followed by Baltimore and Buffalo under the lights. Then on Sunday, it's Cleveland at the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. What? Just saying it out loud is amazing. And then Tampa Bay at New Orleans, which will be yet another divisional rematch, our third of these playoffs. We've already got some big-time off-season quarterback questions that don't have answers. But as I was saying last hour, could you imagine, just chew on this for a second, if we've seen the last of Philip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger, maybe Alex Smith as well, though he's not a future Hall of Famer. Drew Brees lives to play another weekend, but it's not going to be easy against the Buccaneers, or really at any point moving forward. This postseason could see the end of three future Hall of Fame quarterbacks, because there's no way Tom Brady's leaving yet. What did he say? He's going to play until he sucks? Yeah, we haven't seen that. Gosh, what a weekend. Supersized wild card weekend. What are your major takeaways? You're blowing up my Twitter and Facebook, which is awesome. And then also on our Facebook page. So either A-Law Radio or After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. You can see rules and enter for free today at rocketsquares.com. RocketMortgageSquares.com. I got to tell you that even if you believe the Browns were going to win this game against Pittsburgh, and there were a fair number of people that felt like the Browns were catching the Steelers at the right time. I mean, think about what's happened to Pittsburgh since that 11-0 start. I mean, the wheels have come off. It's been a big mess. And even though they survived to win the AFC North, it's been angst and really angst and anemia, especially offensively since then. And so I'm not surprised that the Browns won, but there is no one who can tell me that he or she saw the first quarter coming in Pittsburgh last night.
Roethlisberger's in the gun. He's got 3-1. Three on the line. High snap. It's over his head, bouncing to the 10, rolling to the 5. Recover at the 1. It rolls into the end zone, and Cleveland is recovered. Cleveland has scored a touchdown. Oh, what a way to begin. Pressured pocket. He throws a short pass. Intercepted. Short pass in the middle, picked off by Stewart. Two possessions, two Pittsburgh turnovers. Quick throw up the middle. It's caught. Grabbed by Landry. 30 makes it. Tackle. Miss at the 20. Goes to the 10. Runs to the far sideline. The 5 breaks another tackle at the 2. Runs into the end zone. Touchdown. A 40-yard catch-and-run touchdown on a pass from Baker Mayfield to Jarvis Landry. He gets the snap, and he hands off to Hunt. Runs over the left guard. Broke a tackle at the 10. Broke another tackle at the 5. Puts his head down. Carries a defender on his back. Touchdown, Cleveland! This is unbelievable! 11-yard touchdown run by Kareem Hunt. Here's the handoff. It goes on a sweep to the near side to Hunt. Hits the sideline. The 10. Broke a tackle. 5. Into the end zone with a cut and a touchdown. Another touchdown by Kareem Hunt. A touchdown run of 8. And the Cleveland Browns have gone up 27-0 with under 2 to play in the first quarter. Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
And there was still time in the first quarter. Oh my gosh. I know we've never seen anything like it because it's never happened before in NFL history. The Browns 28 points. Were the most points by any playoff team in the first quarter of any playoff game since the merger, meaning in the Super Bowl era. It has never happened before. Good morning to you too, Cleveland. Kevin Harlan with the call on the Westwood One radio network. Yeah, there was a little drama later in the game. You could tell the Cleveland defense was gassed. And we know that Roethlisberger's good for this. We know that he and his receivers can put up yards and points in bunches, and they did. And because the Cleveland offense went through a series of three and outs, Pittsburgh was able to get into a groove. Roethlisberger had a couple of touchdowns in there and pulled them within 12. But man, for the life of me, and I could hear Mike Tomlin explain it over and over, but it still just, it doesn't jive. To start the fourth quarter, I think it was a third consecutive three and out for the Browns offense, right? So the defense is gassed because they've been out on the field for most of the third quarter. Pittsburgh is facing a 4th and 1 to start the fourth quarter. A 4th and 1. They've been racking up yards left and right. They're at midfield. The Browns offense has done nothing in that second half. And yet, Tomlin punts. Now, I think the idea was to pin them deep, but it didn't work. It was a touchback, and they turn around and go upfield. Nick Chubb takes a short pass and rumbles 40 yards. And, I mean, Nick Chubb squashed that. But what do you have to lose? You're on your own field. It's a 4th and 1 to start the fourth quarter. You're within 12 points. Go for it. What are you waiting for? I'm a huge fan of Mike Tomlin. I think he's an incredible coach. But that decision, I couldn't have disagreed with more. The Browns take care of business, though, and congratulations to them. They play a really efficient offensive game. No turnovers, no sacks taken on Baker. 127 yards rushing, 3 for 5 in the red zone. And I know the third quarter, they weren't able to put anything together. But man, they done the yeoman's share of the work there in the first half. Baker, 263 yards and 3 touchdowns. Jarvis Landry had nearly 100 yards and a score. These guys balanced it out, and the defense deserves a ton of credit as well. 5 turnovers against the Steelers. and Ben Roethlisberger in tears on the bench as Heinz Field is emptying out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to Ben in a second. But for Baker Mayfield, for Mike Prefer, for Alex Van Pelt, it was pretty obvious the leadership had not only prepared, but had focused and was determined. And a lot of times adversity brings out the best in a family, in a team, in a group. Now, it can blow up your family, your team, or your group if you don't have character and you don't have leadership. And we've seen that before with the Browns, let's be honest. But not this group. Not Kevin Stefanski's group. Not Kevin Stefanski's locker room. Even though he was in his basement with his TV and no phone, he prepared his guys well. And even when it got shaky there in the third quarter, they were ready. They were ready for the punches that Pittsburgh threw. And honestly, even if you don't believe that Cleveland is a championship team, you should believe that Cleveland is on the rise because Stefanski has changed the culture and changed the expectations for these Browns.
As soon as the COVID news came out that we were missing some key guys, obviously starting with our head coach, we knew that everybody was counting us out. And we knew what mentality we were going to have. And it's just to cut it loose and go out there and give it everything we had. But there was no added pressure. There was no extra anything. It was just for us to go out and do our job because no one believed in us besides us.
I think because of the adversity, and it was iron sharpens iron, right? So because of the adversity that we've had this year, it's made us a stronger team. It's made us a better team. It's made us a closer team. And I think, you know, if it was all roses and butterflies, it would be, you know, we wouldn't be able to respond in times of adversity.
Roses and butterflies. I mean, who doesn't like roses and butterflies? But I think in Cleveland, your first postseason win since 1994 is better than any flower or bird or butterfly. Mike Prefer, by the way, is a Cleveland native, quoting Proverbs there, iron sharpens iron. But he's right. That's the concept. No team starts out the season ready to win a championship. But over the course of the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs, the punches in the mouth. Remember, that's what Baker Mayfield called their season opening loss against Baltimore. We got punched in the mouth. If you can take those and turn them into life lessons, so to speak, and you can use them to bring you together. That's never happened with the Browns. Well, I shouldn't say never. It hasn't happened in a really long time with the Browns. But Stefanski's changed that, and he's got the right guys around him who've bought in. And even when he couldn't be there, Mike Prefer and the rest of the coaching staff, they were ready. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So the Browns get their first postseason victory since 94. The Bills get their first postseason win since 95. That's pretty amazing. And the Buccaneers, for the first time since their 0-2 Super Bowl. So Bills, Bucks, Browns, this weekend was all about you. A supersized wildcard weekend. But the Browns aren't the only team in the AFC North to survive to the divisional round. Crazy, right? It's not Pittsburgh who won the division. Nope, it's the 6-seed Cleveland and the 5-seed Baltimore who is playing its best football of the year. And they went through their own adversity. The theme is still the same. The leadership of John Harbaugh, his coaching staff, the veterans on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball, they got healthy and they settled in to start kicking some butt.
Steps up, pocket collapsing, he escapes, he's to the 40-yard line, 35, 30, Lamar Jackson to the 20, leg raise, 10, 5, and he's pushed out of bounds at the 1-yard line, no, signal is touchdown, Lamar Jackson on 3rd and 9, he takes it to the house, and the Ravens an extra point away from tying it up.
That was really the turning point. The Ravens go down to the Titans 10-0 in the first quarter. Lamar throws a bad interception. I mean, really, Malcolm Butler was lying in wait for the ball. But from the second quarter on, this was all about the Ravens controlling the ball and the defense, which is healthy and is full of veterans, brash and bold and confident to the point where there was dancing, stomping, There was a party on the Titans logo after the Marcus Peters interception to seal the game in the final 2 minutes. Very impressive containment of Derrick Henry. And of course, Ravens fans, the Ravens remember what Derrick Henry did against them last year. In fact, he was going into the fourth quarter with just a handful of yards, nothing impressive, and then went off in the fourth quarter. Nearly 200 yards rushing last year. Yesterday, his longest rush was 8 yards. No stiff arms that I can recall. 18 carries, just 40 yards. And Baltimore doubles up Tennessee in terms of overall yardage. And I think potentially there could be a rivalry that's born here, or that's at least extended. So they stayed calm when they were down 10-0. It's something they hadn't done in 4 years. Come back from a double-figure deficit. And John Harbaugh and the Ravens have their first playoff win since 07.
We gave a game ball to Lamar and really the whole team, backing him up and having his back for his first playoff win and many of our guys' first playoff win. Chuck Clark talked about that and others. So just proud of these guys. It's something that's very it's very meaningful because of the type of game it was, how hard fought it was, and now we're looking forward to the next one.
Okay, as soon as that came out of my mouth, I knew that was wrong. That was dumb. Please forgive me for that. I don't know why I said that. Not their first playoff win since 07. I guess I had too many dates in my brain. Their first playoff win since 14. And obviously they won the Super Bowl after the 12 season. I don't even know where the 07 came from. The Bucs, the last time they were in the playoffs was 07, but I wasn't even thinking about them. I'm a weirdo. And there's a lot of numbers in my brain, so forgive me for that. At least I caught it before you yelled at me. Although some of you are probably trying to yell at me right now. So congratulations to the Ravens. And I love the fact that you've got Baltimore playing its best football. But what's the difference? Yeah, they got healthy. They got through their COVID mess. But after week 12, that Wednesday game against Pittsburgh, we talked to a guy who's going to join us coming up next. And he said the issue was with the way they were calling the game for Lamar Jackson and the offense. So did that change? Once again, if you haven't seen the schedule moving forward, Baltimore at Buffalo next Saturday night in Orchard Park. And then the Cleveland-Kansas City game is the first one on Sunday afternoon. So those are your two AFC battles in the divisional round. The Rams at Green Bay, Tampa at New Orleans. Those are your NFC games. So weirdly enough, the AFC has seeds 1, 2, 5, and 6 surviving. So does the NFC. 1, 2, 5, and 6. So those road teams continuing their success from during the 2020 campaign. All right, coming up next, we're going to spend some time in Baltimore, where I'm going to try not to make any more dumb mistakes. And you can, in the meantime, find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. You can vote for Monday MVP. I know there are plenty of guys that didn't make the poll, so that's how you use your fingers to do your talking.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Ravens have only sacked Tannehill once today. They have a four-man defensive front. Marcus Peters drops into coverage. Tannehill throws down the middle. It is intercepted! Marcus Peters! He returns it to the 50-yard line. Heading to the far sideline. Slides down. Inbounds! And with 1:50 left to play, the Ravens defense has put themselves on the very cusp of making sure they will advance to the divisional playoff round.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jerry Sandusky with one of the final calls, certainly the final big call on the Ravens radio network. And right after that, we got treated to the Ravens defense at midfield on the Titans logo, doing a little of revenge is best served cold on your own field with your 15,000 fans in attendance. So they do the stomping and the dancing on the logo, and then many of them take off down the tunnel and don't shake hands. And Lamar said, we had nothing to shake hands about. He actually had to be called back for his post-game interview. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Rob Long from our Baltimore affiliate, getting ready to do his morning show on 105.7 The Fan. So, Rob, what did you think about the display, the dancing, the taunting? I guess there was a flag in there by the Ravens D at the end of the game.
Well, you know, it's funny to me that the defense, the entire defense can run to the end zone and strike a pose, and that's okay. But when you do it on the logo, it's taunting. I don't know what the difference. I don't know what the difference is. I don't. I didn't know what that's about. You know, that's organized celebration all the time when a defense gets a turnover or stops you on four downs. So what's the difference between running in the end, you know, the entire team collectively running to the end zone and striking a pose for the camera and you doing it in the logo? I don't understand it. They're all taunting to me. If you're going to call that taunting, everything is taunting because you're showing up the opposing offense. Whatever you do is showing up the opposing offense, so I don't understand the difference in the rule.
All right. So taunting is taunting, doesn't matter where it takes place. I honestly have no problem with it. If you don't want someone dancing on your logo or in your end zone, then how about don't throw an interception with 2 minutes to go in the game? But that's just
let me say this, Amy. I'm glad you said that. I don't have a problem with either. My point. I don't have a problem with either. I just don't understand how that's taunting, but if they ran to the end zone, it's not taunting.
It's subjective. You know how these things go. So, Rob, the last time we talked to you, it was right after that loss against the Steelers in Week 12 on a Wednesday afternoon. And you joined us the next morning, and we were talking about the issues, the problems with the Ravens' offense. And I remember you talking about Greg Roman and trying to get cute and turning Lamar into something he's not, as opposed to allowing Lamar to do what it is that Lamar does best. So now here we're in the wake of what is a 6-game win streak, a playoff victory on the road. What changed with the offense?
Well, I think number one, Lamar came back after COVID. You know, there was talk of him having a little issue with his knee, maybe sitting out for 2 weeks, help the rest of that up. I think also we use the word identity then, Amy. I think having three running backs was a problem. I brought that up as well.
Yep.
And Mark Ingram has been a healthy scratch all but 1 week, and that was last week, week 17. And that identity came back. You know, Dobbins is pretty much the bell cow with Gus Edwards right behind him in carries. And Lamar's being Lamar. You saw that yesterday. I don't know whether it was schematically that Lamar wasn't doing what he normally does. I don't know why. But since that time, you're right. You know, Lamar comes back against the Dallas Cowboys, and all of a sudden he sticks that left foot in the dirt, turns upfield, and he's gone. And he's been doing that a lot since he's been back. So to me, it seems like I don't know whether it's scheme or Lamar. I don't know what it was. But they look a lot like the 2019 Baltimore Ravens again now. And it's all because of number 8.
How critical has been the health of the defense to the way that they've played over the last 6 weeks?
Hey, I'm a huge Wink Martindale fan. I think that guy dials it up. He's the mad scientist, Amy. I mean, seriously. I mean, there are times where, you know, your DBs will have 4 or 5 sacks. You know, there are times where the interior line, you know, he's gotten a lot out of Derek Wolfe, the acquisition from the Denver Broncos. You know, I think Wink Martindale is tremendous, and he's a huge part of the success. You know, whatever roster you give him, whatever you give him to work with, he's had guys out. He's had important guys out. And the defense has still been productive. And yesterday he had the entire defense back. And he held Derrick Henry to 40 yards rushing. I think Wink Martindale is to me the unsung hero of all of this right now.
I'm pretty sure I didn't see a Derrick Henry stiff arm anywhere, Rob.
No, they didn't. You didn't see him breaking away. His longest run was 8 yards. And that happened, I think, in the fourth quarter. It's just, you know, again, Wink – I think he's, I'm not going to say underrated because maybe people around the league do know about him, but he's become one of my favorite defensive coordinators of all time on his team because he does it without a premier pass rusher, you know, all these guys. He gets it done. You know, other than Patrick Queen, the rookie linebacker, you don't know the Ravens linebackers. Last year they called back L.J. Fort and all these guys, and he was successful. I just think Wink Martindale, whatever you give him to work with, he's going to be successful.
I have to tell you, though, the thing that really impresses me is that about three quarters of the time. So roughly 72% of the time, the Ravens were stuffing the box. You know, and Derrick Henry obviously contained, not really able to get through. And yet still, there were very few big plays downfield. A.J. Brown had a couple of big catches, but it's not as though they gave up something by stuffing the box. I mean, every guy was responsible for taking care of his mark and for making sure that they weren't giving up big chunk plays downfield, and it worked.
Marlon Humphrey's an exceptional cornerback. Jimmy Smith was back from the injury, who was, you know, formerly the team's number one cornerback. He's now the third cornerback. And you saw Marcus Peters, who's a playmaking corner. Marcus Peters probably gives up more big plays than anyone. But at the end of the game, what you saw, Amy, he also makes more big plays than anyone as well. So you're right. Those guys can hold their own. It's a luxury having those three roam the secondary, you know, along with Chuck Clark, you know, have those guys roam the secondary while you can stuff the box.
Rob Long with us from Baltimore, 105.7 The Fan, getting set for his morning show. And a lot to talk about with the Ravens getting that wild card win on the road in Nashville. How do they match up with the Bills, their divisional round opponent?
I think they match up well against the Bills. I think, you know, Josh Allen is tremendous. You know, he's going to throw the ball and be successful. You know, Stephon Diggs, a Maryland guy, you know, he is one of the game's best wide receivers. But I think they can, you know, if you're going to make a team one-dimensional, you make the Bills throw. I think they can come, again, go back to Wink Martindale. He's going to dial up some blitz packages, and I think there's going to be an outstanding football game next week. It's a good matchup. I was looking forward to this matchup, honestly. Not that I have anything, you know, not running from the Chiefs or anything, but I really wanted to see this matchup.
I mean, you could put off the Chiefs until you absolutely have to, though. I would understand that.
Yeah. I mean, I look forward to that Bills matchup. I think that's going to be probably the weekend's best game.
So, Rob, then, what did you think of Sunday night's first quarter between Cleveland and Pittsburgh, since you're familiar with the AFC North?
Well, I made my one of my co-hosts, Jerry Coleman, I made a bet with him, a bar tab bet, that Cleveland would win the game. I didn't think it would happen like that. I mean, towards the 28-0 within a blink of an eye, Pittsburgh looked like they weren't ready to play. I don't get it. And to me, I think this team, the offense, is hindered. And I know this is almost blasphemy. I hate to say this because I love them. It's hindered with Ben Roethlisberger. And to me, it was more open up when you had Mason Rudolph last week. Ben Roethlisberger can't throw but 10 yards. He throws any further than that, he needs the cutoff man. That's honestly, I mean, so when you put Ben Roethlisberger back there, the defense just knows where the ball is going all the time. They know where he can't throw. You only have to defend a part of the field, which is so un-Ben Roethlisberger-like, but it's the truth, Amy. I think the Steelers' offense is almost hindered with Ben Roethlisberger back there. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. There aren't many Steelers that I like. Ben's one of them. And I just, you know, what you saw last night was a team that just didn't look like they belonged until late in the game when the game was essentially over.
So the 500 yards passing then, you would chalk that up to garbage time?
Yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, let me ask you this. How many competitive yards were they?
Well, they pulled within 12. If not for Mike Tomlin going, instead of choosing to go for it on 4th-and-1 to start the fourth quarter, and he punts the ball away, I don't know. We could have seen them score another touchdown on that possession.
I think the offense is hindered. The whole reason why I thought the Browns would win the game was because, and again, people thought I was crazy by saying it, was because Ben was back. You know, and that's the reason I gave. Ben's back. I think the offense is limited. I think the Browns win. I think that's one of the things moving forward. You know, you always talk about what do you do year two. If Ben Roethlisberger can't make better throws next year and he's the starting quarterback, I think the Steelers will really struggle because you have a whole year of that and all that film to watch. And I think defense is going to take all of that away. They're going to take the first 10 yards away and make Ben beat them with his arm. And right now, maybe he's still – it's like an ACL. You need a whole year to recover that injury that he had on his elbow. But if he's not back close to being what he was before the injury, I think the Steelers will struggle big time next year.
Or maybe don't throw the ball 75 times a game. That's also probably recommended. All right, Rob Long and his Big Bad Morning Show on 105.7 in Baltimore. They got a lot to talk about this morning. You can find him on Twitter at Rob Long Sports. Decidedly different than 6 weeks ago when we last had you on the show. Rob, Happy New Year. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Happy New Year to you too, Ann.
Look at how happy he sounds. It's going to be a much easier morning show for Baltimore fans. And then Rob specifically, because he says he picked Cleveland and had a bet with one of his co-hosts. So, yeah, it's crazy how quickly things can change, right? It's amazing to me, but this happens all the time in sports, whether we're talking about football, basketball, baseball. You got to see a team settle in. You got to see a team respond to adversity. And I truly do believe that the Ravens, as well as the Browns, benefited from having to play their way into the postseason. I know it was giving their fans heart palpitations, but it put them in playoff mode. They had to play for their lives, which meant they've already faced this pressure now for weeks where other teams haven't necessarily. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We'll try to get to some of your calls here, 855-212-4227. And we've got the College Football National Championship in mere hours.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
First and 10 from the 11. Breeze under center, looks to throw over the middle, has Mike Thomas across the goal line. Touchdown! Mike Thomas finds a hole in the zone, settles, and does the rest of the work, and the Saints take a 6-0 lead with 5:09 to play here in the first quarter.
Second down and goal. The give is to Kamara. Full head of steam, dives into the end zone for the touchdown. He got a running start and just plowed right across the goal line for 6, his first rushing touchdown of the day, and a 20-3 lead for the Saints with 8:50 to play.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Alvin Kamara said he had a bye week. He had a personal bye week in week 17 when he was unavailable because he had tested positive for COVID. But he came back with 99 yards as the Saints, well, they slugged it out with the Bears in that defense for the first half, but then found their offensive stride in the second half. Kevin Kugler with his touchdown on Westwood One. And before that, Michael Thomas, welcome back to the party. Do you know that was the first touchdown catch of the year for Michael Thomas? Just as a side note, do you know what popped into my brain as I was watching his touchdown catch for the Saints, and that was the call on the Saints Radio Network? For those of you who were thinking about 2019 when you were making your first round fantasy draft picks, Christian McCaffrey would have been the consensus overall number one, right? Wouldn't Mike Thomas have been drafted pretty high? I would say top five in most leagues. And yet he's been on IR, and that was his first touchdown grab all year. I mean, football's nuts, and injuries are obviously the great equalizer. But now that the triumvirate, the three amigos are back together, Drew Brees, who was also injured, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, that Saints offense was just a matter of time until they busted out. And certainly good for Brees to see his two cronies back on the field and healthy.
Still just kind of first time, you know, really that we're getting everybody together again. You know, hopefully we get Traquan Smith back this week as well. And, you know, there's just so much timing and rhythm that goes into the passing game. And so many little nuances and things that, you know, when you're playing a lot, it becomes automatic. And that's when, you know, you're really playing at the level that, man, we've been at, you know, in many cases around here.
For the New Orleans Saints, it's almost, I mean, it almost defies logic that they won 12 games. And yet you saw their defense on display against the Bears. David Montgomery's really the reason why the Bears were able to make the playoffs, why they surged offensively late in the season. And yes, that gave some freedom to Mitch Trubisky, but the Saints defense contained them both yesterday, and it was back to that same old formula. Bears defense doing everything it possibly can to keep the Chicago offense in it, to give them opportunities, and yet nothing happened. So eventually, the Bears defense gets worn out, and the Saints are able to tack on more points in the second half. So now we get the third battle of the Saints and the Buccaneers this season. It comes up in the divisional round. Breeze and Brady, same place, same time, same game.
The minute that he signed with the Bucs and came in the division, you know, you felt like, you know, that was going to be a team to contend with. That was going to be a team that had playoff aspirations and beyond, just like us. So I guess it was inevitable.
Inevitable, he said. Huh. I mean, that would kind of feed the narrative that the NFL is rigged, but we do not believe that in any way, shape, or form. That's the company line. No, I don't believe it's rigged. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Why? Because you cannot make this stuff up. The stuff we saw this weekend, you cannot freaking make this up. Coming up this next weekend, the NFL playoffs continue on CBS. The AFC is down to just these four teams remaining now. 1, 2, 5, and 6. The defending champion Chiefs, still the team to beat. Just because they took the weekend off doesn't mean they aren't still the best team out there. Who takes that next step on the road to Super Bowl 55? Who makes up the AFC Championship game? Well, you'll find out this weekend when the AFC Divisional Round plays out on CBS. No Nickelodeon coming up Divisional Weekend, but I know a lot of people really enjoyed it. Yet another piece of evidence that I'm completely uncool. I don't have Nickelodeon, my cable package, and I didn't know it until yesterday. But I saw plenty of slime. All right, really quickly, just to toss this out, food for thought. We haven't seen the last of Drew Brees or Tom Brady, and there's no way Brady retires unless something drastic changes in the next several weeks. There's no way he retires. Brees may very well be done, but he's not talking about it. Phillip Rivers got really emotional, choked up after Sunday's loss Saturday's loss to the Bills because he's not sure whether or not this is the end of his tenure in the NFL. And then Ben Roethlisberger, he was on the bench at Heinz Field for probably 15 to 20 minutes with tears rolling down his face. So it's become a photo and a meme that you can see all over the place. He didn't really want to talk about it after the fact. Marquise Pouncey came over and sat down next to him. Instead, Ben wanted to talk about why he was proud of these Steelers.
You know, that half was one of the weirdest halves I've ever been a part of. And you get down early, but you still got a chance, and then you turn the ball over, and we still believed, we still were fighting all the way to the end, and that's what I'm most proud of the guys about is that they, you know, we never gave up.
I had a friend who asked me if I was going to spend a whole lot of time hyping up the college football national championship, which happens on Monday evening, and I said no. We've got 6 pretty massive NFL games to talk about, which we did. But, of course, we've got one more huge game with everything on the line, Alabama and Ohio State in Miami in mere hours. And Nick Saban and his team, they've had their own issues with COVID protocols, as has every team like Ohio State. And yet both these teams have survived to challenge for the ultimate prize.
You know, these are the kind of games, if you're a competitor, you really look forward to playing in. And this is a great opportunity for our players to compete against a great team.
You know, some days you woke up, you didn't know which direction you were going in. Certainly there was a time where we didn't think we would have a season, weren't sure if we were going to restart a season. I think just, again, which goes to show you, how strong our guys have been.
So Nick Saban's Alabama Crimson Tide, they're going to end up playing more games this season than really you would have expected. The SEC as a whole only missed 2 games. Meanwhile, Ohio State is just hitting its stride, and that's the part that I think is lost in a lot of people. Yeah, they only played 6 regular season games, quote-unquote. They end up in the Big Ten Championship. Then that game against Clemson. But most teams need 6, 7, 8 games to really get comfortable and find their stride, and that's exactly what we're seeing from the Buckeyes. So we've got the Tide and the Buckeyes on the field tonight in the national championship. And I guess you can debate whether or not it's legit. I tend to think that these guys have worked even harder to get here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to squeeze in these 2 quick calls. I'm not kidding. Mike in Baltimore, 60 seconds. Go, go.
Hey, Amy.
You got 60 seconds, sir. Please go.
Oh, yeah. I'm just proud of the Ravens. They got the monkey off their back as far as the proverbial monkey about Lamar and playoffs and just everything's going good. It's looking good for them right now.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that was a wounded duck narrative anyway. It was kind of ridiculous. He was so young when he took over as a rookie. And last year, obviously, was a painful loss, but they certainly have avenged that. And Lamar Jackson's playing some of his best football. And the Ravens are playing some of their best football of the year now.
Good time to be doing it.
You're right, for sure. Who cares about your swoon in the middle of the season if you can be peaking at the end? Mike, thanks so much, and enjoy your Monday.
Thanks.
Let's talk to Mike, who's in West Palm Beach. Same thing, 60 seconds, go.
Will do. Amy in the house, Happy New Year. A shout out to good man Dave, too, good producer. Listen, Amy, I'm a 66-year-old, okay? Jets, I don't want to talk about them. The Bills, I'm so happy, like you mentioned, 25 years since they won a playoff. And you also mentioned the class act Jim Kelly, you know, what he went through, just the whole spirit of the thing. And the Chiefs, I like to love to see the Chiefs and the Bills. And I'm so glad that the Patriots and Belichick are not in the playoffs. I'm not going to say anything about a pencil. All right. Great day.
All right, Mike. Happy New Year. A couple of your posts on our Facebook page. I love this one from Linda. So proud of the Browns. Pretty good for a bunch of nameless gray faces. Which is what Juju Smith-Schuster called them. Mike Tomlin's used that phrase before. She goes on to say, not used to feeling this way, so I don't know how to act. I love that. That's my favorite part of this wild card weekend. It was supersized. Yeah, there's a lot to digest. Your host has got numbers mixed up and had to apologize for mistakes. Sorry about that. But the fact is, we've got three fan bases who haven't felt like this in years. So Tampa Bay, it's been nearly 20 years for both the Browns and the Bills. I mean, the fact that all three are in the divisional round at the same time is in and of itself a minor miracle if you consider what these franchises have been through in the last 25 years. But seriously, I love this. I love fresh blood. And I don't know if it happens in any other year, but it doesn't matter, right? Because the NFL has made this as normal as possible. They've obviously attached all these kinds of other protocols and distractions and everything else. And yet the teams that have survived, they are forged through fire and they're ready to go. And so we're down to four. Back tonight after the national championship in college. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Have a great Monday. CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.